Talk Shoe.
Recorded live.
Hey everybody, this is Chief Crone, the Chief, and that was Taps brought to you by the Marine Corps Band Bugler, and also Happy Birthday was brought to you by my daughters, Courtney and Michaela Crone. They were kind enough to sing for me tonight, recorded in my laptop, so we could use it for our intro, and we're also going to use it for our exit song tonight as well. Today is the 17th of June 2008, and it is our 110th birthday for the Hospital Corps. Happy birthday, docs and dental techs and everybody else. And I'm going to be bringing some friends in right now who are going to be joining us on the show. We have Tony. I'm going to bring you on right now. Tony, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm here, Chief.
Okay, good. Hold on for a second. I'm going to bring Dee Dee in as well. Hey, Dee Dee, you there? We're getting a little bit of feedback because people are grabbing their phones when they hear it over their computer. Dee Dee, you were there?
I am.
Hi, Dee Dee. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Tony, how are you tonight?
Yeah, I'm doing well.
Well, good. Well, this is the first time we're doing it with three people. I guess we still couldn't get a hold of 0311. That hotel he's staying in, I guess, didn't squeak out enough bandwidth or something. He was on earlier, and I sent him a message, but I didn't see him on a little bit later. So we'll get going with this. You guys both had the show notes that I sent you earlier?
Yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's great. Well, right now, I'm going to introduce myself. My name is the Chief Crone. I'm the owner of Corman.com, and I've got some very special people on tonight who help out with Corman.com, and I'll let them introduce themselves and tell you what their jobs are. And you've heard from Dee Dee before, but we'll start off with you, Dee Dee. Go ahead. Tell us about yourself and who you are, what you do, and all that stuff.
Well, I'm Dee Dee. I'm the mother of a Corman, and I have been on the website for, going on 2 years now. And I'm just basically everybody's gopher, it seems like.
Mom.
No, I'm the mom.
Yep.
I edit the newsletter. I host the chat. Direct traffic.
Are you not feeling loved tonight?
There's so much love.
Well, good. All right. Well, thank you, Dee Dee. And Tony, this is your first time doing this. Why don't you tell us about yourself and who you really are?
Oh, goodness. Well, I'm 8404 online. Name's Tony, and I'm one of the moderators there. I'm kind of like the master at arms, kind of on the site most of the time, and either early in the morning, middle of the day, or later at night, and handle a lot of the recruiting and any of the newly registered users and welcome them and try to answer general questions and stuff, and I'm able to do that. I was never a corpsman. I am an former infantry Marine. However, I do have an HM3 son, and that was the reason for my involvement with corpsman.com, and I had lots of answers. I didn't know anything about the Navy or the corpsman other than that they served with the Marines. I didn't know anything about their enlistments or their contracts, and so I got those questions answered at corpsman.com and have been involved, gosh, I don't know, my son's been in there almost 4 years now, so probably going on 4 years or 3 years, somewhere in there.
About 3 years, yep, both of you from the very beginning, yep. So, well, I appreciate you. And myself, I'm a retired Navy chief of 24 years. Matter of fact, I'm coming up on my first year of retirement at the end of this month. I was just looking at my paperwork just before we started tonight. I found it. And my last date in the Navy was 30 June of last year. So I'm actually coming up on my first year of retirement, 1 year strong. So this is the first time I've had a birthday with being on the retired side. So it's a little bit different. It feels a little bit different for me. Especially knowing that, like, both of your sons are out there serving, and they're going through the hooyah of the birthday, the cake cutting and everything today, and I kind of miss it a little bit. I never thought I would, but I do. So, happy birthday, Hospital Corps, and I want to thank you both, because you're involved as well now. So, I really appreciate it. This show has been brought to you by the Hospital Corps. We're 100 years strong, and we don't need no stinking Viagra. We're good to go. That's right. Hey, is there anything going on that you guys, this is a general BS time, is there anything you wanted to put out, Tony? Other than the stories we'll be going over later. I know there's one particular you're going to be talking about a little bit later, but is there anything that you saw on the site today or anything you want to put out to anybody?
I do have a Father's Day rant out there. I invite you to view that. It's in the within the forums there. Also on the main page there was a new link called Recruiting Info, and there's about five or four different links in there with regards to delayed entry personnel, a lot of interesting stuff. We now have access for the DEP PQS Success Accelerator. There's an electronic copy out there that you can view online or download for your own use. Has lots of naval history, terminology, and stuff that you'll definitely need to know before you go to boot camp. There's also information there about getting promoted, recruiting extra people into the military, and you get credit for that.
Right.
And lots of good information out there. So we invite you to take a peek at that. And then, again, under military information, there is also a link there with about some recruiting articles, and there's an interesting article that I'll talk about later on this evening.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. It gets your point across very succinctly. And Dee Dee, is there anything you want to put out? I know the 13th's come and gone, but is there anything you want to put out to everybody? Did we lose Dee Dee again? Did the gerbils or the animals take her away? Well, anyways, I'm going to tell you what Dee Dee wants to say, because she must have been carted off someplace in her house or something. But Dee Dee does the newsletter, and she is the editor. And I'm sure she would say that if you are writing a story, and we invite anybody to write to us, if you want to give us an attaboy. Matter of fact, we would love to have more attaboys and stuff. If you have a sailor that's working for you and you want to recognize them in our monthly newsletter, write us a blurb. Tell us about the person, the job they did, and we'll give that attaboy someplace in there. So we'll figure it out. And Dee Dee says, get me the stuff for the newsletter. Evidently, I'm going to put her on. It's just going to be you and I, Tony. We lost Dee Dee. Dee Dee, do you have a hold button on your headphones? I would check to see if you might have inadvertently hit it. All right, well, hopefully maybe you'll pop back in again.
She's still there.
I know. I think I hear something in the background. You too?
Yeah, no, I'm reading her. See, I'm still here. Not sure why you can't hear me.
Right. Well, Tony, it's you and I then. Welcome. It'll be an interesting show then. All right. Well, Dee Dee, I'm going to put you on. I'm going to try to block you and see if I can bring you back in real quick, though. Let's see here. Let me see if I can bring her back. Dee Dee, can you hear us now? I love the way this works. No, we lost her. Did a whole show with her last week, and it was fine. Anyways, please get, if you have information for the newsletter, please email it to editor, E-D-I-T-O-R, at corman.com, and she will include it. She will also, if she needs any if she needs any more information for the article, she will get back in touch with you. Also, any article that is submitted to us is not owned by corman.com. We will print it in our newsletter. It still belongs to you, the writer. So we take no ownership of anything like that. We just want to put it together and put it out to the docs so they can see some original information from the Corman Doc Medic community. That's one thing. Hey, Tony, I know that you and I are trying to get more and more medics and airmen in our site. So how do we go about doing this? I've tried, you know, it seems we got Doc Pardue, but he's retired. I mean, he's a retired medic from Vietnam and everything. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm trying to find contacts of people in other parts. Like, I've got one of my adopted boys. He's a aviation ordnance with the Navy Air Wing,
right.
And I would think that they'd have some kind of contacts with the Air Force, their counterparts there, because they're spending an awful lot of time on Air Force bases as they, you know, hip hop around the world. So I'm going to see if I could pressure him to seek out and forward our newsletter to those types of medics for the Air Force, and maybe
yeah.
we can get on board with that.
Just go. I mean, if I were him, I would go to one of the sick bays. Like at this, I know when we were deployed with our squadrons, most of the sick bays actually worked out of the hangars, and just try walk over there and say, hey. I mean, depending on what kind of planes and what kind of security they got over at that hangar for the Air Force and what they're carrying and everything, he might
right.
be able to. He might be able just to walk into the sick base area at the squad bay and go say, hey, we got this place here. Why don't you give him a contact? We want to get some more. Give them your email or whatever and get hooked up. So
excellent idea.
Yeah, hold on, let me see if I got her. She left and then she's back. Let me see if I can get her. D, are you there? Nope, we still don't have her. DD, once, twice, three times a lady. Well, she's not there. Well, we're gonna get going. So all right, thanks DD. Just I'm sorry, we'll try to get you a little bit later. I don't know, wonder what happened with that. Anyways, one of the other things we want to talk about, like I said, we want to recognize Doc. So if you can, please send us some information at the editor@corman.com, or you can email us at admin1@corman.com. If you want us to give a Bravo Zulu to somebody on this netcast, which we do weekly as well, we can put that out to you. So please, please, please get it to us, and we'll recognize it. If you're a parent and your son or daughter is serving in the military and you would just like to say, hey, I'm thinking about you, you can give us information as well, and we will put it in the show. Which brings me up to the sponsorship. We're looking for sponsors for our shows. We had a sponsorship for 10 shows earlier or late last year and into this year, and those have since come and gone. What we're doing is we at Corman.com don't ask for donations per se like we used to a few years ago, or for the last 2 years. On a month-to-month basis, we say, hey, we need donations to the site. We don't do that until December. But what we do ask is if you, and this is not required by any means because we're still going to do the shows, if you would like to sponsor a show, a netcast, it's $25 per show. Just hit our donate button on our page. You'll see the donate button at the top right of any of our web pages. And you can donate to us. Now, what we ask is if you do that, it's for $25. If you donate to us, put in the notes section on the donation who you are and make sure your email is correct so I can get back in contact with you to find out what you would like to have in the donation or into the sponsorship part of the show. If you're sponsoring it for HN Victoria, whatever your name is, Victoria Secret. There you go. HN Victoria Secret. If you're sponsoring for her as a parent and you're saying, we're doing this in her name and we just want to tell her we love you or something or whatnot, we will put that in the show and it'll be on there. We will also include it. All sponsorships will be included in our monthly newsletter so everybody that's in the community can see that you indeed did sponsor us. So we ask you to think about doing that. It only helps out Corman.com and helps us continue with our upgrades and everything. So just it'll be in the show notes, which, by the way, this recording will be on our site later on tonight where you can download it and use it in your MP3 player. And we will also have the show notes with all the links that we're talking about. All the information we go over tonight will be included in the show notes. So, hey, Tony, do we have a Citrus update this week?
I haven't heard from. I did get a blurb that just a hoo-yah, and he's having a grand old time out there. So I've never seen somebody more happy than to join the fleet as a corpsman. So
yep.
And he's having a blast.
I hear that he's working for orthopedics.
Correct. Yeah, he's
yep.
there at the base hospital there temporarily until I think it's August is when he starts FMTB training.
Boy.
And yeah, it's going to be hot and steamy with the mosquitoes.
I laugh about that because my wife went through what used to be FMSS but FMTB now at Camp Lejeune in the summer out there, and it is all she told me was steamy and bugs, lots of bugs everywhere. And but I'll tell you what, it's a different type of atmosphere, because I know when I went through it, I went through it out at Camp Pendleton, and it was, you know, well, you know what Camp Pendleton's like.
Rocks, yeah, that's right. I had desert, my training as well.
Right, rocks, desert, and a bunch of mountains and hills, yep, and stuff like that.
Big, big mountains.
So, but, you know, to eat, they're both great schools. And by the way, have we heard from the HM1 out at FMTB at Camp Lejeune lately?
No, he was going to go TAD for some type of training, and I haven't heard back from him. So I'm going to have to send him some kind of an email or something to see, get an update and see what he should be back. The website for FMTB East is just phenomenal.
Right.
And I don't know what's happening with Camp Pendleton there, but.
We try to get information. We put it out to him. I know that 0311, when he was there, he went and talked to an HM1, and they were supposed to get in contact with us, and we never heard from him. But I know Camp Lejeune is really trying to put the word out and try to get people so they're where they're supposed to be for the show and for the training and everything. So, well, we'll just
get prepared.
We'll just keep trying. All right, you ready to talk about some news?
Certainly.
All right, I'm going to let you go. You got a few of the first shows. I'll let you go through them.
Well, there was an interesting article that was done on recruiting, and they've got a couple of teens that claim they were duped by the Navy. This article talks about what we at Corman.com have been advising and talking about all along. It's absolutely imperative that the enlistee do the required homework with regards to your Navy enlistment. It's your responsibility. You don't ever want to sign any incorrect official document with the promise or plan to have it fixed later, simply just because you're in a hurry. You want to slow down, do it right the first time, and make a professional pitch or argument until your enlistment contract is exactly the way you understand it to be. And it states everything that you were promised. No one cares more about your career benefits than you, the enlistee. If it is not on paper, it doesn't exist. And if you do not have a copy of that paper, it doesn't exist.
Right.
Be advised, you've been warned. These teenagers allegedly promised a full-ride scholarship if they signed the dotted line. And next thing you know, they're at MEPS and at boot camp, and nobody knows anything about any scholarship or full ride. And yep. So
these guys were out of Hawaii, right?
Yes, correct. There was two of them, two 18-year-olds.
And evidently there was some actual truth to the whole thing, because the recruiters are, or the recruiter, the HM, or the first class petty officer is being investigated for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, and there were 2,456 claims of recruiter irregularities. God, I love that term.
Yeah, I love irregularity.
Yeah, among 22,000 recruiters and nearly 318,000 new enlistees in 2006 alone.
Right.
So it's incredible. So, yeah, 2,400 claims is that's quite a bit. But, you definitely want to get the facts. You want to confirm, verify, and be informed. Do your own research. And, of course, at Corman.com, we can confirm anything that you suspect might be fishy, or if you have any questions about enlisting, as we do have an online recruiter with us, and he's very forthright and accurate and factual, and we can confirm anything that you may have. So feel free to join us in recruiting under the recruiting thread or post, and post your questions accordingly.
Awesome. And what was his name again?
That's the login name is Doc_D.
Right. And he's a corpsman. How do I put this? A lot of, you know, some recruiters that are out there take on a different rate. I believe he's doing it just for a tour as a recruiter. He's not doing career recruiting type thing, correct?
Exactly. He's still an HM and HM1, and he plans on going back to the fleet after this tour an HM. Yep.
Cool. That's awesome. So, all right. What else we got? Anything else tonight?
Let's see here. We have the, and of course, there was a big uprising at the, with regards to the, what was it? The veterans deal going on. So
which
I can find that.
Let me see. Oh, yeah. Veterans group claims DOD severance law. Evidently, let me get into that as well.
Yeah.
And all of these we got, by the way, all of our stories we got and everything are from the Navy Times, Air Force Times, Marine Corps Times, and blah, 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 blah. It says the interview, oh, here's what's going on. Evidently, the, let me get this, excuse me, I'm burping. I don't want to be burping. It says, at the end of a boisterous House Veterans Affairs Committee hearing in which lawmakers lambasted Veterans Affairs Department and Pentagon officials for not meeting various deadlines for improving care for wounded combat troops, disabled American veterans dropped a quiet bombshell. The Pentagon knowingly violated the law and ignored the intent of the Congress in implementing a provision of the 2008 Defense Authorization Act that lawmakers designed to enhance disability severance pay for wounded and injured service members, wrote Carrie Baker, Associate National Legislative Director of DAV. That's Department of Veterans. Baker argued that Congress creates the Section 1646 of the 2008 Defense Authorization Act with the intent that service members injured in combat in a combat zone or performing tasks related to combat, such as training, would not have to pay back any disability retirement severance pay they received from the Defense Department before becoming eligible for VA disability compensation, as has been the case under longstanding policy. I can explain what that means. When I got out, I have my retired pay and I have the VA disability pay. What the way it used to be, and they always warned us, is if you got paid on your retired, how do I put this? If you got paid your retired pay before you got your disability, because, you know, I'm lucky in Great Lakes in that when you retire or separate from the military, they send you through, it was a new program where you would actually go and do your physical and everything at the VA administration prior to getting out. So I had my rating actually before I got out of the Navy. I knew what I was going to be rated at. But that doesn't happen this way for everybody else. Like Crazy Cajun, who's going to be up in Lejeune, his will be different. He has to go through a physical through the Navy, and then all his paperwork will be submitted to the VA, who will then say, we need some more exams and everything, and then they will put out a rating for him. Well, that takes a lot of time. So what could invariably happen to him is that he would start receiving his retirement check, and say he was rated at 40%, 50, 60, 70, 80% or whatever it is over there on that side. What they do is a portion of your retired pay, like myself for 80%, and it's concurrent receipt. It's a freaking mess. But what ends up happening is eventually you'll get your full retired pay and you'll get your full disability pay. Right now, it's not working that way. You get a percentage of it, and it's by 2014, it'll be up to 100%. But what happened was the person with their retired pay that they got, which would be their full retired pay, which they aren't supposed to get under the guidelines of the VA, they come back and try to take that money, which is nuts because it takes so long for most people to get their rating and everything like that. So you're already in the hole. And I can tell you, even though that I had my rating early, it still took about two or three months before I finally got my full paycheck the way it was supposed to be. So it could be even longer that way. And then so they finally come back and say, well, we have your VA rating, but we have to take this big chunk of your retirement pay to compensate for the money that you shouldn't have had in the first place. So this bill supposedly says we're going to stop doing that and we're not going to take the money away and it'll just be adjusted when we finally get your rating done. But it hasn't happened yet. So that's what they're up in arms about. Did that make sense to you, Tony?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Oh, did that make sense? That's okay.
Yeah,
did
absolutely.
That make sense? Okay. Because I don't know. Did you get rated when you got out?
No, they never rated me. I just got out. I never had any issues with that regard. They just said goodbye. I left the Marine Corps kind of I was in separations unit, if you will, and during that time frame I had got an emergency call for that my father was having open heart surgery, and you know, long story short, it didn't look good, and so I didn't have enough time in to take emergency leave. I didn't have any leave because I was getting out, and right. And I just told the officer in charge, I said, look, just mail me my paperwork. I got to go, you know, and I just walked off the base.
Right. Hey, you know, do you know that you can still be raided? Know that.
Really?
You still can. I would really recommend if you are a veteran and you're listening to this and you were never raided, go to your local VA. Get the paperwork started. They would request your paperwork and everything because, you know, especially with Marines and everything. And I know you were on shipboard and you were there in Vietnam, correct? Right at the end of Vietnam?
We were off the coast in late 74, yes.
Right. I mean, it may not be anything, but some of the stuff that you have could be service related and, you know, you might be eligible for some free care.
Wow, that'd be good.
You never know. And I've been hounding Dee Dee about it forever to tell her because she's got some shoulder. I mean, here's what's so nuts about this is that she was separated for a shoulder problem or an injury she had, but they never submitted the paperwork to the VA. And I was like, well, you need to do that. And I've been telling her, you need to go to the VA and get it started. I know, Matt, and, you know, he's since passed away, but my wife's adoptive grandfather, as I put it, he served in World War II and was on a ship that was it had ammunition ship or something like that. And there was a gigantic explosion. He had a hard time hearing. Years later, he went to the VA and they covered him he didn't receive a lot of money or anything like that, but if it's service related, that means that his hearing aids and stuff like that were then covered later on. So I would really recommend that people take advantage of that and go and get rated.
So I could get medical coverage from him.
You sure could.
Wow.
You know, there's so many things. Like if you off the coast of Vietnam, were you ever exposed to Agent Orange, even on the ship or anything like that? Were you on a ship that handled the stuff? Were you around? I mean, there's all kinds of stuff that was being used at that time that you could be rated for.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So, I mean, I would say take advantage of it and get yourself looked at. Hey, you want to talk about the scholarship?
The 5K, I didn't get a chance to review any of that.
Okay. I did. OIF, OEF vets can apply for a 5K scholarship. The ambassador, the American ambassador that was serving in Spain a while back, he went to the Naval Hospital that was there in Rota. And some of the people were evac'd there. And so when he went and visited the wounded and also back in the States. And he and his wife were so struck by the by what they saw and the people that were really, I mean, they put sailors and airmen and Marines and soldiers. I mean, they volunteered to put their lives on the line for our country. And they were so struck by it that he and his wife started a scholarship program for $5,000 over, if you're enrolled in a school or in a four-year program, they will give a $5,000 scholarship towards school. You have to be an OIF, an OEF vet, but they've already awarded, I forget the number, 300 and something of them, and other people are donating into the fund. They've already got $10 million in donations into the fund for this scholarship. So take a look at it. We're just highlighting a little bit of it here, so that way you can read the link if you download the show notes. So that's that. Also, I was going to have 0311 talk about this one, but I'll handle it. Man gets 5 years for $100 million TRICARE fraud. Yeah. Evidently, what he did was, he lives in Missouri. He arranged TRICARE care in the Philippines for TRICARE out there, most of which was fraudulent, up to $100 million worth. And he was just tried. He's a United States citizen, but he was just tried here in Milwaukee or up in Wisconsin. And he was found guilty, and he has to pay, the company itself has to pay $75 million back, and he has to pay the other 25% back once he gets out of jail. So that was $100 million worth of money that could have been the TRICARE system, that could have been paying for care for your kids or your family, your wife or yourself out there. So they're really cracking down on this kind of stuff. So I just thought that was, you know, $100 million. You think somebody wouldn't have noticed before it got to like $50 million? So, also, E6 selection rates are up for, and E7 rates are down for the Air Force. Take a look at the article that we have in here. It talks about the rates. I myself, because we're still, Tony and I are still trying to drum up some airmen in our Corman.com website. We don't know what the hell we're talking about when we're talking about the Air Force. So if you want to, if you're an airman and you happen to come to our site, we are providing you the link, and maybe you can come on and explain it to us so we can better put it out to everybody. So, also, if any of you have seen the YouTube video clip of that Marine that threw the puppy off the side of the cliff, evidently it was real. And he is being booted from the Marine Corps, and we have the show notes. We have the link to that as well. He is being booted from the Marine Corps, so that's good. No, there. You know, I don't tell you how anybody can just. I understand it's a puppy and it's an animal, but I don't understand how they can just disregard life that way. It's just, I don't want any of those people in our service. Admiral Mullen says, "Stop loss won't end soon." Yeah, so if you don't know what stop loss is, it's where a member is in the military, and if you read the fine print, when you're signing your contract, and most people don't, and Tony can attest to that, but if you read in there, it says that if for a reason of national emergency, which of course is what the president deems as national emergency, that they need your service, i.e. they don't have enough people in your rating or MOS, they can carry you over the amount of time that you've enlisted for. It is in your contract. You put your pen to paper. You said, I will agree to this, and you signed it. So really, you can't complain about it. Now, there's things in action that they're trying to do. There's congressmen that are trying to get money paid by the month. If you're actually stop-lost, they would pay you a little bit extra money each month for that time that you're in longer than you should be. I don't know if that's going to go through or not. I know that... the president said he'd veto it, and DOD, of course, is screaming because they don't want it, but we'll see what happens. A lot more things are happening. One thing I would like to talk about real quick, and I know it's not in the news section, but there's going to be a vote very soon, and the IAVA is covering it big time. There's going to be a vote very soon on the new GI Bill. I would ask that you go to the IAVA.org, and sign the petition that's supposed to go to the President of the United States asking that he signs this new GI Bill. Please get involved with this. It's a very important thing. Just read about it, be educated about it, and it'll only help you for your schooling when you get out for the time and service that you put into our service. So, hey, Tony, I'm going to put you on hold for a second because I did an interview earlier today with Doc Pardue about PTSD.
Okay, Chief, I got to step away anyway.
All right, good. Do you want me just to take you off, or I'm going to put you on hold and I'll bring you back up?
No, go ahead, take you off and continue the march. I got a field of a couple of phone calls.
All right, thanks a lot, big man.
Bye, Chief.
You have a good night.
Semper Fi, happy birthday, y'all.
Hoorah. All right. Today, earlier today at 3 o'clock, I did an interview with Doc Pardue, who is, as a matter of fact, I'll let him tell you who he is. I'm gonna play this recording. I recorded it earlier today, and enjoy. And I'll be back in a few minutes. Enjoy the interview with Doc Pardue. Hey there, we got Doc Pardue, who's on the phone with us right now. And for those of you who don't know him, he's gonna tell you about himself. He's been on our site almost from the beginning. He is not a corpsman. He was actually a medic back in Vietnam. So, hey, Kerry, good to hear from you.
Hi, Daryl. How are you? And happy birthday to all the corpsmen.
Hey, thank you so much. We appreciate it. We have 110 years. You know, one thing I've noticed about this recently is as I'm going through this, I've been, you know, as we get closer to the Hospital Corps birthday every year, people ask us questions like, when was the oath created? Or you know, when did this happen? In what year? And I have to say for ourselves, for the corpsman side, the history keeping is woeful. It's terrible. How is it on the medic side? Do you know if there's a central repository or something like that that keeps track of the history of the medics in the Army?
I think Fort Sam Houston has a lot of things on archives to the medical school down there.
Okay, so much better than us.
Well, I'm not sure because we have a code as well, but I'm not sure who wrote that either.
Right, right.
I tried to Google the information. I couldn't even find any history of when that was written or anything.
Yeah, I know. It's terrible for us.
Kind of a, it's a nice thing that everybody takes the oath, but it would be nice to have the history too.
Yep. And that's, you know, something I mentioned this to another user on the site today. What I'm thinking about doing is creating like a history board for our site, like a group of people that we'll create our, we'll start archiving it ourselves and for the Army as well as us and for the Coast Guard and the Air Force, because, you know, it should be relatively easy for the Air Force. I mean, they've only been around since what, World War II or a little bit after? They were the Army Air Corps beforehand.
Right.
So, I mean, as far as their service itself, it should be relatively easy to put that together. But for the other ones, gosh, we've been around since the creation.
Yeah, I think the Navy was about the same time that the Army was. So.
Right, and even the Coast Guard. So they've all been around for a long time. Well, why don't you go ahead and tell us about yourself, Kerry, so everybody gets to know who you are, other than the guy who whoops ass on everybody during the sports seasons.
Well, I used to be old, fat, and ugly, but now I'm skinny and taller and more handsome. So,
yep.
But I went through a gastric bypass surgery last July and lost about half myself.
Yep.
But my health issues have all gone away, and I'm doing really, really well.
Well, that's great.
I got back from a mini vacation to D.C., Bethesda, Maryland, and Chicago. And I went to Walter Reed and also Bethesda to try to visit some medics and corpsmen, but they didn't have any in the hospital that were wounded. So I did visit some other troops.
That's good.
But the main reason I went out to Chicago was to meet with a group of guys I was with my first unit in Vietnam. We had a reunion, our 35th year, but we had not seen each other in 35 years. We hadn't even been in touch with each other. So we had that reunion about 5 years ago. We meet every year. So this year was Chicago, and we just got back from that long weekend, and we had a nice little trip up to Chicago. And beautiful weather up there this time of year, too. But my background is I was active duty from 1967 to 1970. Went into the medics. I was drafted in the Army, but extended an extra year in order to become a medic because they told me I'd work in a nice, clean hospital.
Right.
And I wouldn't have to go to Vietnam. And I said, all right, you hold the paper. I'll move the pen. So when I signed up for an extra year to become a medic, when I got down to Fort Sam Houston for training, everybody down there just about was drafted. So I guess they saw me coming.
Right.
So I served an extra year. So I served my first assignment after school was in Vietnam. I was in three different units. I was with the unit in Pleiku, which was an aviation unit that mainly did sick call and flight physicals for the helicopter pilots. And I was there about 2 months, and I got sent down to, that was in Pleiku, and I got sent down to Bami Tuol, which is about an hour south in the Central Highlands. And worked another dispensary there at Aviation. But we called ourselves the psychedelic dispensary because our physician was drafted. So he said, you can paint any color you want. So we decorated that place. Every room had different colors. It was really cool. But he said, I don't care what you do as long as it, you don't do anything to the outside. You can paint the inside any way you want.
Right.
It's your work area. So we were known as the psychedelic dispensary. And there were eight of us, and we were the closest group of guys I was with the whole time I was there. And then about 2 months after I was there, I got sent down to the 9th Infantry Division with a recon platoon. And we were on boats. We were on, the Army has their own Navy, but the Navy ran this Mobile River Marine Force.
Right.
And then we went on the boats with them and got dropped off for ambushes and patrols and those kind of things. And then we were on armored personnel carriers, APCs, and then we were dropped off. We were air mobile for a while. I kept waiting for the horses and motorcycles, but they never shipped those to us. So, I was just a combat medic. Most of my tour was with the infantry on the green side, and as you guys say, in the Navy. And I went out with my guys.
Right.
Two medics with each platoon of 60 men. We had two platoons, 30 men each platoon. So, well, we'd go out on recon missions and those kind of things. But I just recently served as the national commander for medics and corpsmen.org, which is a much smaller organization than what you run.
Right.
But it's mainly an internet association of medics and corpsmen. and it's a more fraternity, but our team is Docs Helping Docs.
Yep. What's the website address for that?
It's www.medics-corman.org.
Medics-corman.org. Got it. That's good
and
to know.
And that'll take you up on the site. And for the next 2 years, I'm going to be I'm the chaplain of the group. I guess they don't know me very well, but they... I'm probably not the chaplain type, but I'm going to do my best to do a lot of support.
And that well, that's good.
But the issues I deal with mainly is putting together a memorial for all the medicine corpsmen that have died during the Iraqi and Afghanistan things. So I do a memorial site as well on those.
Right.
And I deal with PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder.
I know you've been helping us out get the information for PTSD and getting it out and everything like that. So I'm going to let you tell the people a little bit about it and and some of the agencies and avenues they can use to get themselves some help.
Okay. Well, as you're probably aware, medics and corpsmen, PTSD is going to be probably a lot different than the infantry guys.
Right.
Mainly ours are going to be dealing with a feeling of helplessness, of our efforts of not being enough trained to keep the person alive.
Mm-hmm.
It's survivor guilt because we made it and our buddies didn't.
Yeah.
So we're plagued by feelings that what we did probably was not enough. Inadequate feelings sometimes because of when we performed triage, we worked on the ones we could save and the other ones we couldn't, we had to let go.
Right.
But we also don't know how to deal with stress very well ourselves because we put it in the back burner and eventually comes back and bites us in the butt big time.
Mm-hmm.
Anger comes out of that, and it comes in many forms towards authority, towards family members, towards other people. In general, we vent frustrations when we get frustrated. So anger is a result of not only us, but nurses and doctors and people who deal with a lot of grief and a lot of trauma.
Right.
So those visions come back as flashbacks, as nightmares, those kind of things. But there's isolation because we don't want to make a lot of friends. We want to feel safe. So we annihilate ourselves. We also sometimes have a weird sense of humor when we deal with death.
Yep.
I think that's a mechanism we use to protect ourselves.
Yep.
Sometimes we don't think we need all the credit. We're just doing the job that we're supposed to do. But, you know, sometimes we have to make split-second decisions on saving a person's life, and sometimes those decisions will come back 10 years later to bother us. Did we do the right thing? Sometimes it's difficult to know, you know, if you really help somebody because so many people you treat are sent off to the hospital and you never see them again. So you don't know whether these people made it or not. So there's a lot of guilt feelings of whether this person made it or not.
Right.
And sometimes the trauma is very severe that you go into memory loss sometimes where it takes a long time for you to come back and try to remember those things. So the PTSD is a natural reaction.
Mm-hmm.
Back in Civil War, they called it soldier's heart. World War One, they called it combat fatigue. I think the same result in World War Two to some extent in Korea. But when I applied for benefits in 72, about 2 years after I got out of the Army, the VA didn't know much to deal with PTSD, and they said there's nothing they could do. So I went away and came back about 5 years later because I had a lot of problems with relationships and nightmares and not even being able to sleep well, those kind of things. And when I came back in 85, they said, well, there's nothing we could do because we don't know what's tied to your medical history in the military. So I went away again. But they did pay for some type of treatment in the civilian counseling.
Right.
I couldn't figure out why they would do that, and they said they couldn't tell if it was related to my service or not. Well, by 1985, they had come up with a name called post-traumatic stress disorder. And basically, a lot of veterans were suffering from this, and they started recognizing it. I finally got a full 100% disability in about 5 years ago.
Right.
I went back and applied for another thing to the VA. I kept coming back, and finally they said, oh, we made a mistake. And they accepted the diagnosis, and they gave me a 70%, and because I was unemployable, they went ahead and gave me a 100% payment. So,
right.
Basically, PTSD does not go away.
Mm-hmm.
There's some things you can do to learn how to cope a little bit better, how to deal with your family and other members that you have to deal with
right.
to do work or whatever. It's a coping mechanism, but the VA has a great program that I've been through. It's a 30-week program where you go through individual counseling with a psychiatrist and a psychologist, and you have group sessions going on at the same time. But one of the things they try to teach you is how to tell your mind that I'm not there now. I'm not going through this right now. It's something that happened in the past. And basically helps you come down from the flashbacks and those kind of things.
Well, that's good.
A lot of times certain songs would take me back. A lot of times the helicopter flying overhead would take me back.
Fireworks.
Certain dates would take me back. Fireworks.
Right.
I became a cop when he came back from Vietnam, so that probably was not the best profession to get into. But basically, it was a thing I hid in the closet a long time, and I didn't want anybody to know I was having problems, because we don't want anybody to know that something's wrong with us.
True.
And the military of late is now really beginning to acknowledge PTSD. Though a lot of guys, particularly on the green side, the Marines, are telling their men to gut it up and deal with it, and the chain of command doesn't really know that much, but they now are allowing men to go get treated, and women. Because it's not just a men and man's fighting on the green side. There's women fighting on the green side too,
yep.
in Iraq, in Afghanistan. There's no real safe zones there, so they deal with trauma all the time. And even those who work in the hospitals in the rear areas, they're dealing with trauma every day. So they see it just as well as the corpsman on the front line, as well as the combat medic on the front line. So they're seeing the same things that they're seeing. So it's grades registration people are going to see it as well, bagging bodies and tagging bodies and autopsies and all kinds of things. So anybody who deals with trauma is going to be dealing with some effect of PTSD. And I think the recent figures I've seen is 25% of those who have served are now under some type
care.
Of care
right.
For PTSD.
Right.
But if they're out of the service, I think the VA is a great place to start. The VA, particularly in Phoenix, has been kind of proactive with the Iraqi and Afghanistan guys.
Right.
They have an intake system where they allow them to come in, just their group come in and meet privately with a psychiatrist, and they start the process rolling.
There's been a lot of stuff in the news recently about how the VA was trying – they didn't want people to be – rated as PTSD right off the bat. They wanted to be versus this or versus that type thing. Have you heard anything about that?
I think the chain of command tries to say that so they don't have to pay any disability claims.
Right.
Is they're saying that some of this was pre-service connected.
Yeah.
However, PTSD has its own symptomatic symptoms that you know it's PTSD.
Right.
And they do, too, but they are trying to they shuffle people out of the service. The Army's doing this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's been a, particularly in the VA, there was a letter that came down from a psychiatrist to a staff saying, let's look at doing it this way rather than the other way. But now that's been taken away, and they're going back to what they're supposed to do.
Right.
The service active duty side is still doing that a little bit, but what I had to understand, and what people really need to understand, you need to be in control of your own case.
Yep.
And you got to give no for an answer that I won't accept that, because they offer people early outs and this kind of thing, and then when they get out, because they gave up their rights, they also have to pay back bonuses and everything else that they didn't realize would have to do by getting out early. So they need to really buckle under and say, I'm not going to accept this diagnosis. I'm going to get treated what I'm treated for. But also, the people on the National Guard and Reserve side, have a 2-year window to get treated when they come home. So these guys, if they're having problems, really need to really come out of the closet and try to get some help.
Get in the system immediately, because it takes a long time. It takes a long time just to get the physicals done. And I mean, I was lucky up here in Great Lakes when I separated and I retired. They have a process you go through where you don't even get a separation physical from the military anymore. You actually get it from the VA. So the VA was, my VA rate, it ran pretty smooth up until the payment part, but I had my VA rating actually before I got out of the military. I knew exactly what I was going to be rated at. It was 80%. And the rest, I mean, then of course you have to go through the bureaucracy of pay versus your retirement pay and all these other things. But for the most, and this was a pilot program, and supposedly they're going to be doing this service-wide. I know the Army, they're getting away from them doing their separation physicals now and having the VA doing them as well. So
it's real important to guys on active duty that if they're having problems that they don't understand what's going on, they need to just go get help. I mean, just go to their mental health at the hospital or the dispensary and say, I'm having nightmares or whatever, because it's all supposed to be private, and nobody's supposed to be able to have access to that thing, what you tell. And so it becomes part of your permanent medical record, and that's what the VA looks at when you get out of the military for disability claims.
And HIPAA is all the way across. VA, it's a medical for everybody. That's a congressional mandate. So like Dr. Pardue said, like Carrie said, it cannot be given out to anybody at all. It is a I would say it's even more private with the VA when you're out of the military than it is when you're in the military, because when you're in the military, your CO always has, or whoever he deems needs to know your information, always has access to your medical information. On the outside, nobody does but you.
Absolutely, and you can decide what you want to have released and what you don't want to release.
Right.
So basically, they need to understand that there's a system built in to protect them and to help them, so they really need... I think they need to be proactive with their military now, just getting back from Iraq and Afghanistan, and some things are beginning to happen they don't understand, or having flashbacks and nightmares. And then it's time to try to get some help. A lot of guys try to medicate themselves with alcohol and drugs, and it just makes more problems for themselves in the long run, because they start becoming discipline problems, and then they start having to deal with those issues that is the cause of, it's because of PTSD, but... because they're frustrated with the system and not knowing how to work it and not know how to get into it. But I would be glad. I've already sent some things to your site and the links to files about PTSD and those kind of things. So it's on your site under links.
Okay.
There's also, and if they want to contact me at my email is carriepardue247@yahoo.com. I'd be glad to help anybody out.
Or even in our forums, it's doc-pardue. If you PM him, which is private message in our forums, as the administrator, I don't even have access to that. The only people who can see that message are you, the person who's writing it, or Doc Pardue, and that's it. So either way, and he can move it. I would even say that's a little bit more. Well, Yahoo Mail is pretty good, but if you just want to touch base, if you forget his email, and I'll have his email in the show notes on this, but if you want to touch base with him in the forums itself, you'll always see Doc Pardue's name everywhere as it is. Private mail him or private message him in there and say, hey, I would like to talk to you about this. And I know from experience, because I've dealt with Carrie for now, what has it been, 2 or 3 years now, he's always trying to help people out. So if it's just that first step you want to take because you're really worried about the VA or whatnot, give us a holler and we'll try to put you in the right direction.
Yeah, the important thing is be proactive to take care of yourself, because you're used to taking care of people and nobody wants to think they're going crazy. And you're not really going crazy. It's just that you've got some symptoms that you don't understand.
Yeah.
I just wish the military would help people understand what PTSD is, particularly those going over, and particularly in the medical field, because they never taught us how to deal with trauma, never taught us how to deal with loss and grief. And I think it's an important part of that part of the function that you do when you're in those situations, that it affects you yourself.
Yeah.
And you bury it a lot of times, and pretty soon it starts coming out. And it comes back later to come back and really get you. So you really got to be proactive and watch your own mental health, because you need it for yourself and for your family to take care of them. We've lost a lot of members in Vietnam and Iraq and Afghanistan to suicide because of being frustrated and not knowing how to deal and not being able to cope. So I don't want anybody to get that situation. They don't feel like they can get help, because there's people out there that will help.
Right.
Just have to make those things known. And, of course, I don't tell people anybody's story. The people tell me is private, and I just try to guide them to a place where they can get some professional help that's going to help them get over what they're going through and be able to cope a lot better, and for their families, because it's important.
Well, I appreciate all you've done for everybody. And one thing that I wanted to put out that most people don't know about Dr. Pardue is that he's an author. He's actually published, and he's on Amazon.com. You want to tell him your books?
The one book I have out now is Poems and the Keys of Life, Reflections of a Combat Medic. And how that book came about is I started writing about my own PTSD, but it all came out in poetry form. So as I started dealing with the issues I was going through, that's when I started writing. And there's about 100 poems altogether that deal with my going through PTSD.
Right.
It deals with the trauma, it deals with loss, it deals with those issues that are my nightmares, my flashbacks, my fear, being afraid, and those kind of things. So they all came on poetry form. So I never intended to be an author, I never intended to be a poet, but that's just how it came out. And as people began to see some of the things I wrote, they encouraged me to put it together in a collection and print it. So I got a publisher that was willing to publish it. And the website for the book is www.freewebs.com/Carrie Pardue.
And I'll have it in the show notes.
List that on there. And it'll take them to the website for the book, and there's links of how to order it as well.
Well, good.
They can order from the publisher, or they can order from me. I have some extra copies, and I'll mail them out.
Okay.
And I'll sign the book for them and that kind of thing. So,
well, good.
But, I'm in the middle of writing the second book now of the guys I was with. I just recently met with this past weekend. I'm writing their story because no one's ever recognized these guys. So I'm telling their story about how, you know, where they were raised. There's eight guys that, how we came together, our families, and what happened to us after we left the service.
Right.
Our 35th anniversary of our reunion, of getting together finally, and then every year afterwards. So it's a story of people that I grew to respect, and I call them my band of brothers. And so that book is in the middle of being written right now. But I've had a number of other pieces put on different websites, and some of my writings have been included in Chicken Soup of the Nurse's Soul, particularly what I've written about nurses. They have a special place in my heart.
Right.
Because of what they have to deal with. Even though we don't consider them Greenside or Corpsmen, they do a wonderful job for the people that have been wounded or injured.
Yeah.
And when we send them to a medical facility, These are the people that care for them, and they all have big, huge hearts.
Yep.
And they love these guys, and they realize their job is important, and they serve a unique function to take care of people to the best of their ability, and they always do.
I know. Well, I'm married to one, so I know, and she used to be a doc herself, so she's now on the other side, but I know what you're talking about. I'm watching, you know, it was one thing we always goofed around or joked around about the nurses, nurse corps this, nurse corps that, but I'm watching what real nurses do. When you're married to one, you hear the cases and the stuff she deals with on day in and day out, and it's just amazing how they have, what they have to take care of, not only the patient themselves, but the family members, and just a myriad of problems. So,
well it's unique, the wars that we're in right now that we're fighting, because we've lost, I think, 150 women in Iraq and Afghanistan, and a lot of them are medical.
Yeah, I know.
We've lost some nurses, those kind of things. We lost eight nurses in Vietnam, one because of combat. We lost 62 women in Vietnam, but we already lost over 150 some odd women in Iraq and Afghanistan in 5 years. So they have a more active role than what they used to, and they're in harm's way a little bit more than what they used to be. So,
yeah.
But they serve us well, and they allow people, they free people up to missions that they do to go out and fight the battle.
Yes, they do. Well, Kerry, I appreciate you calling today. I appreciate you doing this with me, and we'll get some more on here. Maybe if I get some questions, if people want to release them to where we can answer them, we can do question and answer sessions maybe once a month or something like this, and we can include these in here.
Right.
And, you know, like what I've told people, too, is I am trying to get more and more people from the Army and the Air Force on our site as well. So if you're listening to this and you're a medic out there, we would love to have you on our site. Kerry's out and medically retired and everything, but I mean, we'd love to have some of the active guys and women out there as well from both services on our side, from all the services, actually. So I appreciate it. And Kerry, thank you for taking the time with us today.
Hey, no problem. And I appreciate it, and appreciate allowing me to plug my book and everything. So, but take care, and may your seas always be calm.
Hey, same. The same with you.
Bye.
Take it easy and keep on plugging.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Thank you. Hey, everybody. That was Doc Kerry Pardue. You can reach him on our site at doc-pardue, P-A-R-D-U-E. Like I said in the on the interview itself, if you are having a problem or you think you might have a problem with PTSD or you're just not feeling right, and you don't feel comfortable going to sick hall yet or talking to your command, you can PM him, which is private message him in corman.com, or email him. His email is in the show notes, so you'll be able to contact him if you've got any questions. Also, he sent me a great bunch of information after we did the interview, which I've attached to the end of the show notes, pages of information about PTSD and how to get help and contacts and stuff like that. So take a look at it if you're interested. And if you have a friend, a friend or a family member who you notice is showing signs of this issue, it's good for you to read it as well and maybe try to direct them that way. I can tell you, having a friend who I've served with at a command who had real-time issues with these things, it's very important. And he recognized that that he had a problem, and so he finally started getting help. But you could tell what was going on. I would tell him, hey, this sounds a lot like this. And he would say, like, fireworks, 4th of July was horrible for him because there's always, up here in Illinois, there's always a lot of 4th of July shows and everything going off. And for days afterwards, 2, 3, 4, 5 days, he would be jittery and just, it's just what happens. So I would ask that, like Doc Pardue said, PTSD is not something that just goes away, but you learn to find ways to deal with it. When you start to have these feelings, telling yourself that, hey, this is not real. This is from the past. I'm in the here and now, and this is how I have to deal with it. But there's tools and classes that the VA will give you that you can attend, or even if you're still on active duty, that your active duty medical can help you deal with those issues. So please get some help. And the reason why I harp on this every week is because of that shipmate of mine who, I'm not going to say his name or anything like that, but he, near and dear to my heart, more than anybody probably in the Navy that I've ever known, what a great warrior, leader, and please go out there and you are eligible for this care. If one of your shipmates was having this problem, I am sure you'd be all over it to take care of them. Well, one of the things that's kind of sad about the corpsman rate is a lot of times we serve in independent situations, and there's nobody to take care of us, so we have to be able to recognize ourselves that, hey, I might have a problem, and get some help. You don't need to be hitting the bottle, yelling and screaming things, going into your shell, things that you used to enjoy you don't enjoy anymore, sexual function goes away. A number of things happen with this, so please ask for some help. Well, that's our PTSD minute. That was our education section. And I want, like I said before, I want to thank Doc Pardue for taking the time out today, earlier today, to do that interview. And if you have questions about the VA and you would like to get with Doc Pardue later on, you can either email him to myself at admin1, A-D-M-I-N-1, at corman.com, or you can PM him, private message him in the forums, and at Doc Pardue, D-O-C-P-A-R-D-U-E, and he'll let me know that he got a message or whatnot. And after probably about once a month or not, I would like to do some more of these interviews. He can read out the messages or the questions we have, and we'll get the information and put out answers to you all. So we'll call it the VA rant or VA whatever, VA info hour, and we'll put those out probably once a month to help us, to help my shipmates out. Our shipmates, soldiers, airmen, and Coast Guardsmen. So I thank him very much for that. Deals of the week. I'm still keeping up the ones from last week because they've been pretty good. And folks, really, if for deals of the week, I'm looking all over the place. Some of these sites are shady. If you're going to a place and you type in military discount or something like that in Google, some of the I would love to say that everybody's out there to try to take care of us, to lend a brother, a sister, a hand. But really what they're trying to do is put their hand in your wallet and rip it off, or in your pocket and take it. So be very careful on some of these deals that are out there. One thing I have noticed, if you're interested in a GM car, GM has a discount going on right now. I would go to GM.com for a military discount, and it's actually a pretty good one. So go look at them. But also look and see what you can get. I wouldn't just walk in and say, hey, I'm a military member. I would go see if you can get the best deal possible, and then let them know you're a military member to get yourself, cut yourself a real good deal. Never layer all your cards out on the table at first. Go out at first and just work the best deal you can, and then throw your trump card out. Also this last week, if you've been noticing, I've been going back and forth about the iPod or about the Apple iPhone versus the new BlackBerry. Well, we've decided, or I decided, and my wife's signed off on it, I'm getting the BlackBerry Bold later on in July when it's released. The iPhone sounds really good, but actually, it's not the best deal in the world. And for the stuff that I do, it just wouldn't be the best platform for me. But I thank you for the comments I got from some of you. Later on this year, I'm probably going to be getting my wife MacBook Pro. I'm actually switching to the dark side for her. She's into writing, does a lot of video stuff, or does a lot of photo stuff and everything like that. She's the creative person out of this group. But so I'm going to be looking for one of those pretty soon. So if you have any pros or cons out there about the, if you own a MacBook Pro and would like to tell me what to look forward to, I know from Leo Laporte on his site, twit.tv, http://www.twit.tv. He's the tech guy on the radio show. One of the things he told us is if you're buying an Apple product, do not buy your RAM from them. Get the minimum amount. But if you're going to upgrade RAM, upgrade it through Crucial or one of those other sites. One thing that's nice about Mac, the OS Leopard and all that, is that it can take up to 4 gigs. It'll work on 4 gigs. Vista still works, has a ceiling basically at the 2 gig level. So, and like I told my wife, that if she got the MacBook Pro, she could actually, you can actually run on their systems, you can run both Vista as well as OS X. So something that I'm looking forward to. But the sites, I know I went off. I just went down the foxhole. Anyways, deals of the week are www.slickdeals.net and www.dealcatcher.com. And take a look at their stuff. And those sites right there are updated hourly, if not daily, if not hourly. Site of the month, and this is the last time for this month, will be Totally Rad Show, http://... Totally Rad Show, all one word, TOTALLYRADSHOW.com. The hosts, and this is the Revision 3 show, are Alex Albrecht, Dan Trachtenberg, and Jeff Cannata. All things Totally Rad. If you're into gaming, if you're into movies, if you're into all things geek, that type of stuff, if you were the guy that was making Star Wars movies when you were in school, or you saved your little Star Wars things, or, you know, the toys, or you're a collector of those things, if you're into D&D gaming, or any of those things, you will like this show. It's pretty funny. And I already spoke about it before, but the veteran site, IAVA, and the link will be in the show notes. Please look into their, it's a nonprofit organization. Please look under their site. They have only, this site is run by people who are Iraq and Afghanistan veterans, and they're trying to get the best programs for us vets. So please take a look at this. They're really, really doing the classy way of trying to take care of us. They're not doing protests or any of that crap or any of that stuff, but they're doing it the way we should be doing it, signing, getting the word, calling our congressmen, senators, all of that. So take a look at that. And of course, we have the Navy recruiting websites on here. If you're into, if you're recruiting into one of the services, I have the sites on here. Also, if you are recruiting and you have a question, go to our recruiting forum on our site, and or PM, private message Tony at 8404 on Corman.com in the forums, and ask him your recruiting question. You do not have to be just joining the Navy. We will help you out for Marine Corps, Army, National Guard, Coast Guard, Air Force. It doesn't matter. We will get the information for you and help you out. But we will not do the work for you. We will help you find it yourself. That's one thing we do. We want to set you up to succeed if you do go in the military. So we will try to steer you in the right direction, show you the tools that you can find the information yourself. Also, social networks. You can find us on Delicious. Add Corman. If you're on Delicious and you bookmark pages, if you see a story you would like us to cover on one of our weekly broadcasts, you can go to just add us. Our ad name is Corman, Corpsman underscore com. And save files, add us to it as well. If you're on Twitter.com, it's a microblogging platform, you can add Corman, Corpsman underscore com for myself, that's me, or 0311 Doc, who couldn't be on, he's actually going through 9502 school this week and is in a hotel up in the boondocks, and they had not the best internet connection. But you can add him at 0311 underscore Doc. And, of course, Dee Dee, the Corman mom, at Corpsman underscore mom. Add us on your Twitter, and we will, you'll get our updates. We've already got quite a few Corman who are added to our Twitter profiles, and anytime we update something for the site, like when we got the advancement results, by the way, we were out 2 weeks earlier than Navy time, so if you, when those things come out, we usually will Twitter it or put it on Pounce, which is our last one, pounce.com. just look up da underscore Chief, C-H-I-E-F, look me up, add me on any of these things. When we have information to put out, we do so, and you can, it will be availed to you. So that's about it for tonight. Like I said before, please think about sponsoring one of our shows. It only helps us out. Plus, we want to get other people more involved. Myself, Dee Dee, and Tony do these shows and the newsletters and 0311 and whatnot every week and so forth. But we would like to get more of you involved. So if you're interested in doing a segment, donating to us, or just sending us information to put out, please do that. And if you have to ask for information, send it to admin, admin1 at corman.com, or at editor, editor, at corman.com, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Well, that's about it. I'm going to finish this off with my daughter singing again. It's a great song, and I will see you all again next week. Please get your submissions in for our newsletter to Dee Dee as soon as possible, as I know she wants to have it out by the end of the month, and she's got a lot going on. She's a busy, busy person, so please get it to her as soon as possible. Happy birthday, Docs. You guys are awesome. You're great. I miss you all, and have a very great week. Good night.
Happy birthday to you. Cha, cha, cha. Happy birthday to you. Cha, cha, cha. Happy birthday, dear Doc. Cha, cha, cha.
Call recording has been completed.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Did it sound good, Dee Dee? Just type yes or no. Please tell me it sounded good tonight. I don't know what happened with the mic. All right. Thank you so much. Everybody, thank you and see you next week. Dee Dee, thanks so much for the thanks so much for hosting the chat on the other side. I really, really appreciate OU big time. Karen and I will be in contact with you soon about you guys coming up here. So thank you so much. Tell them to whack a few knuckleheads. Have a good night.